You're listening to the weekly teaching podcast of South Hills Church in Corona, California. We hope that what you hear today inspires you to laugh, question, think, and grow. If you'd like to connect with us even further, hit us up online at southhills.org/corona. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy this week's episode.
It is awesome to be able to be with you guys. I get to conclude the series today on love, sex, dating, and all of that, so it's awesome. Today's gonna be a little different for the next few minutes. Today, I'm gonna speak directly to the men. Directly to the men. Now, married men, if you will listen to me and you apply what's being taught in the next few minutes, I promise you, your love life will increase. That would have been a good time to cheer, guys. I don't know, whatever, yes. Don't act like you're like, no, I'm not really, I just serve the Lord. Liar. If you are a single man, I promise you, if you will apply what we're learning, you will become one of the most desirable men on the planet. Yes. That's the way we respond at church. Now, women, you have a role this morning. You're going to be listening. The men are going to be, by the way, if women, if you have notes in your hand and the guy's holding on to nothing, pass the notes over to him. The men are taking the notes this morning. And women, you have a job. If it was meant to be funny and it didn't come across funny, your job is to laugh extra loud. That's your job. Your job is to social media everything that you think is a good point. So you play the social media role, not hang out on Instagram, focus. And then don't act like you're taking notes. Focus, you're in God's house. And then also, your job is to cheer when there was a really good point where you're like, ooh, that's a good point, because you're gonna hear a lot of stuff where you're gonna wanna cheer. So I'm gonna give you a chance to do that, women. Ready? 1, 2, 3, pretend you just heard something great, go! Yeah, see, that's it, yeah, I want that. So, you're the energy, guys, you're taking notes, here we go. Let's start it off with the very first verse, and we're gonna jump right into the topic. Here we go, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 says, men, pay attention, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I had the understanding of a child, but help me out, say the next part with me, guys, come on, all the men in the house, but when I became we'll try that again. When I became a man. You don't sound like a man. Come on. One more time. When I became a man. There, a little stronger. I put the ways of childhood behind me. Now, Paul is the writer of this. The Apostle Paul started a bunch of churches in the Bible. And he's not talking about age. Like, when I was 8 years old, I acted this way. And now that I'm 48 years old, it wasn't about maturity in that way. What he was saying was, I used to think wrong. I used to have wrong understanding. I had a wrong approach towards things. And that was sort of a childish, immature way of looking at things. But now I've matured much more and I don't think like that anymore. That's the objective. Today, for the next few minutes, men, that we would sort of think differently and act differently and behave differently and kind of give up these ways to go up to here. Now, there is something in our society and in our culture that is an enormous injustice. And this is it. There are so many things that are in our culture throughout America and throughout the world and in our society that is radically demeaning to women. That would have been a good time. Just a little energy, women. There, smile. Maybe, yeah, that's good. We don't want to be demeaned. All right, so there's some things that demean women. There are things that can be portrayed to look and view a woman as a commodity. Now, what is a commodity? Sounds like a stock thing, but take a look at it. Something of value to be sought after, acquired and used at the discretion of its owner. That's a commodity. You buy gold, you can trade it, you can keep it, you can do whatever you want. It's a commodity. When we look at the things that are happening in our society, many of the things that are happening in our society view women as a commodity in a way. Think about some of the music that's out today and the things that the music says about women. Think about some of the movies, some of the reality shows, some of all the madness and pornography and crazy stuff that's on the internet. It's sort of this, hey, you kind of, you know, do what you want with women and kind of make sure you get your fulfillment and use them or what, and then kind of move on. And that's sort of the songs that are portrayed, the internet that's portrayed, and it kind of creates that. Look at sex trafficking. It is the number one most profitable trade in the world, above anything anybody's trading. Above any drug, anything else, the number one most profitable thing in the world is sex trafficking. So it portrays women as a certain way. Now, when Jesus came to this earth, he came in the very first century, which is 0 to 100 AD. He came right in the middle of all the action. Now, Jesus comes on the scene, okay? And you got to understand, in that first century, the people of the first century, here's a couple things you got to understand. Worldwide, prostitution was legal, and it was also encouraged. It was a way for men to have their pleasure, but then not have the responsibility without the birth control. If the woman gets pregnant, well, it's on them. Women were told to stand behind men. They weren't allowed to walk with them. They weren't allowed to speak when spoken to, and they were traded. They were slaves. They were sex slaves, and so they were traded. And you could trade them, or you could use them, abuse them, and then trade them, or give them away as a gift. It was just the way that it was. And in the middle of that first century, Jesus comes along, and he totally turns everything upside down. He radically turns everybody's thinking upside down. They didn't know any other way. There was only one way. The man was superior, the woman wasn't, and that's the way it was. And then Jesus comes along in the middle of that first century and just throws everybody off, flips their thinking upside down. And it's found, take a look with me, there's a few different portions that I want to look at. First is John 13. We won't read the verse, but it says this. Jesus said, it's an interesting thing. He said, I give a new command to you. John 13, what's it say? Love one another. Everybody out loud. Men, out loud. What's it say? Love one another. So, but isn't it interesting? If you look at John 13, he said, a new command I give to you. Why would he call it a new command? Because loving people was normal. The Old Testament talked about love. The Ten Commandments talked about love. Why did Jesus show up in the first century and go, hey, there's a new command. I want you to love one another. Because he was blowing everybody away. He was saying, hey, men, I want you to love the women just as you love anybody else. I want you to respect them. I want you to honor them. I want you to be in awe of them. He was saying, and then you could see him teaching in the temple, and one of the men speak up. Wait a minute, does that include women? Yes. I want you to love. I want you to honor. It was a new command. It actually says, a new command I give to you, love one another. It was a new way of thinking. And then he modeled it. Not only did he preach it in the synagogues and the temples, he modeled it in John chapter 4. There's a story where Jesus came and sat down at a well, and the woman and him started talking, and she had been through a lot, and he kind of encouraged her and helped her, and it's a long story. But the bottom line is the woman says in the middle of it, she goes, why are you talking to me? You're a man and I'm a woman. In other words, she wasn't even used to this. He modeled this different approach. And then in Luke chapter 24, one of the biggest announcements in all of mankind is the resurrection of Christ. I mean, how much bigger of an announcement is there? I mean, new president, you know, this happened, that. But the announcement of the resurrection of Christ, and who was selected to make the announcement to the world? A woman. Jesus modeled it. He spoke about it. He turned everything upside down with how they were viewing women and how they were treating women in that very first century. Then he dies, he resurrects, and then Peter, one of his disciples, comes along and sort of reinforces what Jesus said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Let's take a look at it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And it says this. He says, husbands, everybody say husbands. Husbands. The men. Oh, this is the men now. And by the way, how many are married men? Lift up your hand. Married? Come on. Okay, good, good. Single men, where are you at? Okay, there's quite a few of you. I noticed you're all in groups. Anyway, husbands, consider the needs of your wives. They are weaker than you. Now, you're going to think, well, see, that's the Bible. They're the weaker vessel. No, no, no. It just means normally in an arm wrestling competition, you might win. That's all that means. Doesn't mean they're weaker, less than, lower than. It just means in a normal arm wrestling competition, you're probably, except for in eighth grade, I totally lost. I got to be honest with you. I think she was on steroids or something weird. But anyway, they are, they're weaker than you. So treat them, men, treat them with what?
Respect.
Honor them. You know that word respect in the Greek means to assign honor. And then it says honor them as those who will share with you the gracious gift of life. You know, in one translation it says honor them as those who are heirs to the kingdom, just like you are, men. They have the same access to God as you do. They are in the same side of God as you. They are not weak. This, he was changing things. Jesus comes along, models it for several years. And then Peter, the disciple, comes along and says, you got to respect them. You got to honor them as a gracious gift of life. Then nothing will stand in the way of your prayers. He's talking about respect. He's talking about honor. He's talking about this is the way God views him. This is what Jesus modeled. It just absolutely revolutionized the first century because they were not used to that way of thinking. They weren't used to that way of thinking at all. You know, my daughter, who's been married now for 2 years, is pregnant. And so, oh yeah, which I'm not into that whole grandpa thing. I told her I want the baby to call me Governor. I got that from Walking Dead. I thought that was a great title. Governor. I'm like, I could do that. I could live with that title. Governor. So my wife has lost it. She's so excited. She is constantly buying stuff now. I walk by her and she's on the laptop and I go, what are you looking at? She goes, strollers. I'm like, we don't need a stroller. We're done. And she goes, oh, no, we're going back to the starting gate. I'm like, no, we're not. And she's all pumped up beyond belief, you know, and she's all excited. I remember that now my daughter is married to a wonderful guy named Christian and they're youth pastors at a great church in San Diego. And I remember that they were both going to college, Bible college in Australia. And she said, I met a guy and we want a date, but he won't date me, or we can't go on a date until he talks to you, and we won't be home in America for 6 months. In other words, this guy wouldn't date my daughter until he talked to me face to face, which he wouldn't be seeing me for 6 months. I liked him already. So he comes, and I'll never forget. I knew he was going to come talk to me. They both came home, and for a month, you know, college was off or whatever, and they came back home from Australia to home, and he came over to our house, and we met him for the first time, and my wife kind of took my daughter to some other part of the house, and he comes to talk to me, and this was great. I was sharpening my knife, and I was sitting there, and he comes up to me. I'll never forget, and he was a nervous wreck. I mean, he was just like, no joke. He was like, I want to talk to you, Mr. Songson. And I'm like, yeah, you got the right name, Governor, Mr. Songson, whichever one you want to say. I want to talk to you. And he's like, blah, blah, blah. I really like your daughter, and I've been getting to know her as a friend, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm wondering if I could date your daughter. And so we talked for a little bit, and then finally I just said, so yes. And then finally I gave him, okay, yeah, you can date my daughter. No joke, he goes, I said, you can date my daughter. And he goes, right in front of me. I'm like, unbelievable. Then another year and a half goes by and he wants to ask my daughter, you know, for her hand in marriage. And so he meets me at this restaurant and he's talking to me and all this stuff. And then he said, hey, I want to, you know, ask your daughter to marry me. And so we started talking about it. And this is what I told him. I said, Christian, you need to understand. I go, she is my child, she's my only daughter, and I protect her, and you better take care of her. And this is what it means in my mind to take care of her. And so I started talking about all that, and I go, but there is a bigger threat than me. And he goes, well, what do you mean? I go, she is a child of God. She is a daughter of the Prince of Peace. So if you think there's gonna be trouble with me, if you mess with her and you come approaching God's throne, he's going to be sitting up there shining his shotgun. So you best be ready to deal with that. I said, she's not only my daughter, she is a daughter of the Prince of Peace, of the King of Kings, of the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all. See, and that's what Jesus was saying. That's what Peter was saying. He was saying women are to be honored and to be respected, and it blew everybody's mind away. Now, what do we do with all this, men? I mean, let's think about it. What do we do with all this? Okay, great. Jesus blew everybody upside down, but we still have a society that got a lot of crazy stuff going on that demean women. What do we do with this thing? Well, there's two things I want to encourage you to do. Let's look at it. Okay, put it on the screen for me. Here's two things I want you to do, men. Ready? To renew your mind to, help me out, last two words, renew your mind to do what? and make up your mind to do what? Think differently and behave differently. Think differently and behave differently. So let's go to the think differently. He wants us to think differently. So let's talk about that. Men, here we go. We're gonna get really honest here. So what does it mean to think differently? It means that you have to guard your eyes and your ears from what you allow to enter into your mind. The eyes and the ears become a filter that says, I'm not gonna allow that trash into my mind. So let's talk about a little bit about music. Men, single man, married man, whatever. If you have a song on your playlist that calls a woman a whore or the B word, remove it by the end of the day. Get rid of that. Oh, that was a great time to cheer, by the way. Get rid of it by the end of the day and say, I'm not gonna allow that stuff to enter into my ear and go into my mind and possibly warp my thinking. Now, you might be thinking, hey man, it's just a style of music. It's not meant to be this or whatever. It's just a culture, it's a style, it's a whatever of music. Well, if you're a Christian here today, let me help you out. You are to be above the normal standard. You are to live high above and have a superior culture to everyone else. That's our job. And that's who we are, to say that we're not gonna let that happen in our life. Did you know that every single genocide in the world that's ever happened, a genocide is a killing of a bunch of people, every genocide started with one group of people thinking the other group of people were less than, were demeaning, were cockroaches, were scum. Rwanda, 800,000 people died in the Rwanda genocide because one group thought the other group wasn't as good as them. That they were just the lowest of lows. When the Nazis come along and they call the women, the Jewish women whores and the Jewish men scum of the earth, they come and they kill millions of them because they're saying, we're better than you and you're way down here. We did that in America with the American Indians. We did it with people from Africa and moved them over to slavery. What we were saying was, or the people at the time were saying, we are better than you. See, here's the thing. This is an important part. Don't miss this. This is important. You will treat people based on how you label them. You're going to treat people based on how you label them. Rwanda, Nazi, American Indian, African slave. You're going to treat people the way that you choose to label them. You know, I've probably shared this before, but I wear certain glasses when I'm reading a long time, and the glasses are exactly like Ed Helms in The Hangover. And so I often get, probably at least every other month, I get a, hey, you look like the guy from The Hangover or The Office. He's also in The Office. Or I, not only do I get that, I get people that are convinced. And it happened again a few weeks ago, sitting in a restaurant, doing some work on a laptop all by myself. A guy comes up to me, the waiter or the server, whatever comes up. And he goes, hey man, he goes, you're him, aren't you? And I said, who's him? I knew who he was talking about, because they're identical glasses to the ones he wore in The Hangover. And I go, who's him? He goes, you're that Ed Helms guy. You're Ed Helms. And I said, no, I'm not him. He goes, no. He goes, I get it. You're him. You don't want everybody to come up to you right now, but you're him. And I'm like, no, I'm not him. He goes over. I'm working. 10 minutes later, I look over, and I see him talking to three other, you know, servers, and they're all pointing at me. It's him. And I'm sitting there, whatever, you know, and they come by, a couple of them, dude, I know, yeah, you're Tim, whatever. And so they come, one person comes over and gives me the check, and then the main guy that I've been working with comes over, and I go, here, man, here's the check, and here's my card. And he goes, Mr. Helms, he goes, the food's on us. And I said, Mr. Helms appreciates that. Thank you for your generosity. I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I mean, come on, people, you know, I'm a giver, I care. I know this much. If I was homeless and sitting there, I would have been treated differently. If I was an immigrant that just moved over here 6 months ago and spoke only a few words of English, I would have been treated differently, because you always treat people by the way you label them. That's why I say, put a filter in front of your ears and say, you know what? I'm not letting this stuff get inside of me, because I'm not gonna become that person that thinks anything less at all. I am going to be a person who honors God by honoring and respecting women at the way that they should be honored and respected. That's who I'm gonna be. Now, that's one area. We got the area of what goes inside of our ears. Let's talk about what goes inside of our eyes. Now we're gonna get really blunt, okay? We're gonna be talking about, for a second, exotic imagery, naked women, or going on the internet, going on your phone, and looking at videos, porn videos, a $14 billion a year industry. We're gonna be, and here's the thing. Not only do we have to guard men, what goes inside of our ears, which is that music, and it's like, man, if they're gonna say that about women, I don't want, that's off my playlist. So let's get that established. Now let's move to what goes inside of our eyes and say, I'm not gonna allow this stuff to get inside of my head. Now here's the deal. Every time, men, every single time that you look at an exotic imagery or that you look at a naked woman on this on the internet or whatever, or you go to look at a little porn video or whatever and watch some stuff, here's what's happening. You're going to school, whether you like it or not. And here's what you're learning at that school. Show me real quick. Number one, you're learning that a real body isn't good enough. You're also learning that one body isn't good enough. And then the last thing you're learning is my wife's body isn't good enough. And let me tell you, when you begin to learn those things, they become destructive to your relationships. They become destructive to your marriage. They become destructive to your walk with God. Let me tell you something, men, single, married, young and old, doesn't matter. If you're at that school, quit today. Get out of that school because it's bringing you down, I promise you. Because here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna end up, watch this now, you're gonna create an image and you're gonna look at some fantasy and then you're gonna want someone real to live up to that fantasy and you're asking them to live up to a standard that's not even real. It doesn't work and it will always create problems. I think about a week ago or so, it was Valentine's. I asked my wife, what do you want to do on Valentine's? She goes, let's just get Chinese food. I said, $25, this is good. So I told him I was Mr. Helms and I got it for free. No, I'm sorry. They said, we went and got Chinese food, literally, takeout, took it home. I go, what do you want to do? She goes, I just want to watch romantic comedies, rom-coms. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So we watch Harry Met Sally. We get done with that. We move over to You Got Mail. And I'm watching You Got Mail with her, and I've seen him before, but she and there's a couple times where she starts crying. She goes, Tom Hanks is so sensitive. Oh, he's just so amazing. And I'm looking at her, and I'm thinking in my mind, I can't live up to Tom. I'm not as nice as Tom. Now, if my wife expects me to live up to this image, she's asking me to live up to something that isn't even real. And we do the same thing with erotic imagery and pornography and all that other junk. We do that same thing. We're asking people, a woman, to live up to an image that isn't even real. Now, single men, I bet there's a few of you in here that have thought this. You know what? I look at it. I do. And as a single man, you're thinking, I'd look at it, and maybe you even look at it a lot. Maybe you're even thinking, you know what, man? I'm just picking out on pornography. I'll watch whatever I want, whenever I want. And then, watch this, you're thinking, oh, when I get married, then all of a sudden I won't need that anymore because the need that that met, my wife can now meet. I got some bad news for you. Ain't gonna happen. There are thousands of men that could sit with you, and some of them in this church right now that could sit with you and go, it ain't gonna end up that way, buddy. Let me tell you, you are hurting your marriage, you're creating a problem. Did you know that scientists have proven that there is a chemical reaction in the brain? In the brain, there's a chemical reaction that every time you view that stuff, it creates a more solid, cemented addiction in your life. The more you do it, the worse it gets. Secondly is, research has shown, which is crazy, that the more you look at it, the less you have a desire for real women. Because they never can live up to that. It's a trap and it will absolutely destroy. So what do we have to do? For us to think differently, we have to guard what goes inside of our ears and we have to guard what goes inside of our eyes and we have to guard that to make sure that we are not doing anything, listening to anything or whatever that would demean women in any way. That's why Jesus came along and turned everything upside down in the first century because he was thinking it's ruining your lives and it's demeaning my creation. And a lot of that stuff just demeans women. It demeans the creation that God made. So We talked about you got to think differently, and we talked about that you have to behave differently. Here's the second part, behave differently. Now, I don't need to spend a lot of time here because I don't really think it's that hard, guys. I think here's how you behave differently. Now, we know how to think differently because we got to guard what goes in our ears and our eyes, but to behave differently, I don't think it's that hard. Take the woman that you respect and honor, your mom, a grandma, whatever, someone that if I came up and called that person a name, it would be all out war for you. Because you honor them and respect them and you hold them in high regard and you hold them in awe and then treat every woman that way. That's all you need to do. That's how you change your behavior. Just treat everybody the way that you treat the person you love, respect, and honor the most. Mom, grandma, whatever. That's how you do it. My wife and I, a while back, we got an opportunity to meet this lady, Laura Bush, and that's the former first lady. And there I'm standing in between Laura Songson and Laura Bush. Now, the one on the left is hot. That's my wife. The one on the right, I just want her money. That's it. I'll take the money, that's it. But now, when I met her, I got to tell you, I was honestly a little in awe and a little bit like nerve-wracked where I was like, it's a pleasure to meet you. It's an honor. And if she told me, yeah, I'm kind of thirsty, I wouldn't have been like, well, get yourself something to drink. Walk, you can walk. I wouldn't have done that. I'd have ran over and got her a glass of water. If she needed a chair, I would have ran over and got her a chair. Because she's the first lady, the former first lady, I would have given her honor and respect. When Mother Teresa was alive, if Mother Teresa came down and sat next to you, you'd be like, how can I serve you? What can I do? You take a woman that you honor and respect and you stand in awe of, and then you treat every other woman that way. That's how you change the behavior. It's not that hard. You simply just make an adjustment. Now, I'm gonna tell you guys something. First half of my marriage, we've been married for almost 29 years. The first half of my marriage, I'm gonna just be blunt, I sucked at this. I didn't disrespect her, but I didn't honor her the way that she needed to be honored. I didn't hold her in high regard. I didn't respect her in that way. You know, I mean, it wasn't disrespect, but I just didn't do well the first half, you guys. Just being really blunt and honest with you, I did not do well. Now, the second half, I'm crushing it. Miyagi style, I am killing it. A couple years ago, some of you know, man, I mean, I'm doing stuff like this every year for Christmas and her birthday. A couple years ago, some of you know that on December 26th, the day after Christmas, I went and bought two little journals at Rite Aid, and I started journaling on December 26th. Every day, I would journal one page on reasons why I love her. And then on December 25th, next year, I gave her two journals that had 365 entries on why I love her. See, the women are going, ah, the men are going, jerk, and This past November 23rd was her birthday. And so I backed up 31 days before that, sometime in October. And I gave her a card on a certain day. And she goes, what's the card? It was a big old card. And I said, you are my Proverbs 31 woman. Proverbs 31 is a chapter that talks about women being virtuous and honorable and all that. I said, you are my Proverbs 31 woman. And for the next 31 days, you're gonna get a gift every day. And every day for 31 days, she woke up and there was something wrapped for her, a gift. For 31 days. I know it's odd, but it cost me a fortune. And now, I am not saying I've done this great. I'm saying I'm getting a lot better. And I want to continue to get better at this. And so, believe me, if you are younger than me, get this straightened out now. You'll save yourself heartache. So here we go. Married men, here's your deal. Do what I'm telling you to do. Honor, respect, follow what Jesus said to do, follow what he modeled, follow what his disciple Peter said, honor, respect, awe. You've got to think differently. It means you got to guard your eyes and you got to guard your ears and you got to behave differently. You treat them the way you would treat the person you respect the most, every woman, whether you like them or not. I don't care if they're homeless. I don't care if they're transgender. I don't care if they're prostitute. You honor and respect women. Single men, if you will get this right, if you will honor and respect, and if you will learn to get this right and get rid of that junk and guard your eyes and your heart and all that, if you will learn to do this, single men, listen to me. There are thousands of women out there that have given up thinking that there are no more gentlemen on this earth. There are thousands of women out there that think there's nobody that's godly, nobody that treats people right. If you get this right, guys, you will become one of a very small group of incredibly desirable men. I'm telling you, all of a sudden there'll be all these models after you. I'm just trying to help you. Look at what the final scripture says. It says this, put it on the screen for me. It's the last part of what we already read. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. Single men, married men, let's just draw a big old line in the sand and just say, no more. We don't listen to that. We don't view that. We don't treat them this way. We're just better than the culture around us. Be better than the culture and watch what happens in your life. It'll change your relationship with women. It'll change your relationship with God. I promise you it will. Now, women, men, this is for everybody in the house. We're coming to the end. We're at the end of our series called It's Complicated about love, sex, and dating and all that stuff. But I'm gonna tell you, there's a scripture in Colossians 1:17 that says this, He, Jesus, is before all things, and in Jesus, all things will hold together. Life, marriage, hope, joy. He is before all things. He's number one. And when you put him number one, in him, all things hold together. So if you're married here today, single, man, woman, doesn't matter. I want to give you an opportunity to put him before all things, to put Jesus before all things. And if you do that, watch what happens. So if you're here today and you're like, man, he isn't before all things. Jesus isn't number one in my life. I'm not totally walking with Jesus. I want to give you a chance to do that right now. I want to give you a chance to make it right with Jesus. Would you pray with me? Let's pray together. Close your eyes with me. If you're here today and you're saying, man, I'm not where I should be with Jesus. I know I'm not, and I want to make it right. Maybe you used to walk with him. Maybe you never did before. Maybe you're here for the first time, whatever. But you're here today and you're like, he is not before all things. But today I want to make that right. Men, women, doesn't matter who you are. If that is you, would you just slip up your hand in the air because I'd love to pray with you. Come on. I want to make it right. I want to make him number one. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. In the front, thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Thank you, gals. This is awesome. Anybody else? Women, men, doesn't matter who you are. I just want to make things right. Come on. All over this place. Thank you. Now I'm gonna pray with you and I'm gonna lead you in this prayer. I want everybody in the house to pray this prayer with me. We're gonna support these that raise their hand. Would you say this out loud with me? Everybody in the house, but especially those that raise their hand, it's just a prayer of putting him first. Would you do that with me and accepting him into your life? Say it out loud, everybody in the house. Come on now, say, Jesus, today I invite you into my life. Forgive me for all I've done wrong. From now on, I put you first. You're the boss of my life. And I make a covenant, a promise that I will walk with you every day of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message from South Hills Church in Corona, California. We hope that you will continue to connect with us here online. We would love to hear your story, feel your questions, and learn how this ministry has changed your life. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching South Hills Corona.